Morning. I need some water. Already. I saw my aunt and uncle over here from, who knows where they're from anymore, but they're here. Aunt Debbie, Uncle Bill. Good to see them in the, they're in the truck. Wanted to do something. Can we say hi to Jamie Woodward so she hears us on Facebook? Can we say hi for her? On a count of three. Whoa, hey, easy. I got the microphone, people. So on a count of three, we'll say, hi, Jamie! Ready? One, two, three. Hi, Jamie! All right. I think that'd be great. Hopefully you heard that, Jamie. We miss you. Let's pray. I'm excited about sharing with you how much of a mess I am. God, we thank you. We thank you for just the opportunity to get together. We pray now that you would remove distractions, whatever they may be, and you'd allow us to hear your words above anything else. Allow your words to transform us, to encourage us, to convict us if that's what needs to happen. But God, we want to hear your word. We want to see you. So help us with that. Gentle breeze would be nice too. But we thank you for meeting us here. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 40. Probably have heard some of this at some point. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. In verse 5, many, Lord, my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you plan for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. Burnt offerings, sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am, I have come. It's written about me in the scroll. Verse 8, I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. I proclaim your saving acts in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, Lord. There's that gentle breeze, thank you. I do not seal my lips, Lord, as you know. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and your saving help. I do not conceal your love and your faithfulness from the great assembly. Verse 11, do not withhold your mercy from me, Lord. May your love and faithfulness always protect me, for troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me, and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head. And my heart fails within me. Be pleased to save me, Lord. Come quickly, Lord, to help me. May all who want to take my life be put to shame and confusion. May all who desire my ruin be turned back in disgrace. May those who say to me, this reminds me of my kids, May all those who say to me, aha, be appalled at their own shame. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who long for your saving help always say, The Lord is great, in verse 17. But as for me, I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my help, my deliverer. You are my God. Do not delay. We're going to go verse by verse. Okay, we're not. Just calm down. I want to focus on the first three. David, a man after God's own heart, right? One of the reasons I like the Psalms, and you may enjoy them too, is because they have a way of showing us patterns of life that the godly go through in every age. In doing that, we can be encouraged that we are made of the same stuff as the saints of old. And they give us guidance how to follow the pattern of godliness through to the end. And one of the common themes we see in Psalms is getting into the pits and getting out again. And for me, maybe even you, I can relate to this in a very real way. The first 10 verses are a praise for past deliverance. And the rest of the verses are a prayer for his present deliverance. And we don't know exactly the cause of distress, but David acknowledges that they are from his sins, as in, if you go back to Psalm 38, 39, and they're aggravated by the gloating of his enemies. And so we have this famous section here. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me, heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock, gave me a firm place to stand. You probably have a song stuck in your head right now with that. The slimy pit, the mud and mire. He has a nice way of describing this in a very poetic way, where he was and what God did for him. But I want to look at what it was like in a non-poetic way. I don't know the word for non-poetic, so we're going to say non-poetic kind of way. This is the picture David is trying to paint to help us understand where he's at. The slimy pit, the mud, the mire. Think destruction. Think roaring and loud and confusion and stormy waves. Think more of a cistern or a well than a pit. It says this: David had fallen into a deep, dark well, plunged not into a clean, calm pool, but a roaring storm, only all dark and underground. Then alongside that picture is the image of mire and mud. Quick side note, if you've ever been to Lake Ann, it reminds me of the bog. Anybody been to the bog? I hated it at first, right? You know, you got to hold someone's hand, and they've got it all built up now, and it's actually a pleasant experience, not when I was there. Didn't shower afterwards for weeks. But you'd go down into this bog, and you'd have to hold someone's hand. They have to pull you out. There's no way. It's an incredible experience, and that's what reminds me here. You might remember when Jeremiah was put in a cistern. You Bible people, you might remember Jeremiah was put in a cistern, and he sank in the mire. And David in Psalm 69, he combines the images of mud and a flood, and he says, "Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my soul." I feel like that sometimes. Come up to my soul. I have sunk in the deep mire, and there is no foothold. No foothold. I have come into deep waters, and a flood overflows me. And so perhaps we are to imagine is falling into a well, sinking deep into the sludge at the bottom, and going deep every time we try and lift a foot. And then all of a sudden, there's a roaring water coming from somewhere, and it rushes around us in the dark. And then comes the sense of helplessness and depression, and all of a sudden, air. You just want air. That's most important. And so this is how the king is feeling. This is how the king is feeling. And I began to understand this. And I instantly related. Like many of you, I'm guessing. This might be a news flash to you, but I don't have it all together. I don't have all the answers. Like, not even close. And there's been days, a lot of nights lately, I just feel like my nose is just above water. Just above. You know that feeling? Some nights my mind won't turn off. And all the negative things of the day seem to go on replay. And some of you, in this time, now are in the middle of your most difficult times. Things are confusing. You're not sure what the next month, the next week will mean for you or your family. Some of you are more irritated now than you have been in a long time. Some of you are worried about your job. You have serious health concerns. A lot of us are in the waiting. Waiting. I can remember waiting in the waiting room with my family. Almost 10 hours while my dad was in surgery to remove, to restructure the cancer that was inside him that eventually took his life 15 years ago. I can remember waiting to hold my daughter for the first time. It took a little over 20 hours after she was born to get her in my arms. I never had to wait that long with those three. And it was minutes. Minutes, maybe three or four. I held her for the first time and they took her off to surgery. And waiting again for the pager to go off. Waiting. We waited. We waited. We waited over Christmas break. Through Christmas Eve. Through Christmas morning. To get the results of if she would even live. We waited. And just like David, who waited on the Lord, we wait. We wait. We wait for test results. We wait in line. We wait for relief from our current mess. We wait for the internet to reload or to update. We wait for an answer. We wait for the kids. Sometimes we wait for healing. We also wait for the car that's in the fast lane, going a little under the speed limit, that should move over to the slow lane. We wait. We wait to see family. It's like Tom was sharing. We wait. We wait, and we wait. And I'll be up front with you. I typically am. I'm not good at waiting. Anybody with me? Just give me some help here. How many of you not good at waiting? You are not good. Okay. Thank you. I'm not good at waiting. And then this. And then David says, I waited patiently. And my first thought was, no one likes a bragger, David. But waiting for the Lord is a huge part of the Christian life. Huge part of the Christian life. We know this. The older you are, the more you know this. And what I'm learning more and more, waiting is difficult. Let me get to what I'm learning. I know that. Waiting's difficult, but it's in the waiting. It's in the waiting I see God show up. And he's always on time. He's always on time. And waiting, I've learned, is a great revealer and a great teacher. I love when God shows up on the scene. And you can be sure when God shows up, because he moves us from a sense of desperation to a sense of security. God can deliver from every kind of pit and mire, and he will deliver his people. Another truth I'm learning is, and this has helped me. This has helped me a lot. Is God will allow me to wait for a season. And I know some people don't like to hear that. But he will allow us to wait. Maybe you've been there. Maybe you're there now. He will allow us to wait. Not because he wants to watch us squirm or torture us, or even because we did something wrong. He wants to develop and grow and mature us. And a lot of times I'm finding that comes from the waiting. It comes in the waiting. And knowing that in the waiting, I can begin to look. What am I supposed to learn? Helps me when I begin to be impatient. What, God, are you wanting to show me? What, God, do you want me to see? These things help me. And David, in his patient waiting, acknowledges it's hard and difficult. But notice, he never stops talking to God. He never stops talking to God. In verses 12 and 13, he's talking to God, telling him to come quickly. Come quickly. His troubles are all around us. Like many of us, come quickly. He keeps talking to God. Even when God seems silent, we shouldn't stop talking to him. It seems like that's what we do when we're waiting. When God seems distant, or when God seems silent, what we find is that we typically step over here and we stop praying. And that's, and David's example, he's no. He cries out to God. He tells God everything he's thinking. Everything he's thinking. Notice, the verse doesn't say David waited impatiently. Wish it did. It'd be a little easier. But he doesn't stop talking to God. So what should we do? Well, Psalm 130 gives us a little bit of help. It says, I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits. And in his word, I put my hope. In his word, I put my hope. See, again, we're not naturally going to just go straight to God. We're drawn away. And there's a reminder here. It's in your word I put my hope. So how to wait well? how to wait well. These are just a couple of things that I won't even charge you for these today. They just were on the top of my mind. The first one's this: keep talking to Jesus. Keep talking. The second one's this: open and read your Bible. I know this is groundbreaking. Sorry that it hurts your head, but sometimes we just need to come back and do the simple things we know. Keep talking to Jesus. Open and read your Bible. And then the third thing, ask, what are you wanting me to learn in this season of waiting? Don't stop talking to God. Waiting for the Lord is the opposite of running ahead of the Lord. And it's the opposite of bailing out on the Lord. It's staying at your appointed place while he says stay. Or it's going at his appointed pace while he says go. So we battle the unbelief of impatience by using the promises of God to persuade your heart that God's timing, God's guidance, and God's sovereignty are going to take this frustrated, unproductive situation and make something eternally valuable out of it. There will come a blessing, a strength, a vindication. There will be a mounting up. The wings like eagles. There's been many nights Laura and I have laid awake in bed and we've said the words, I wish we could just know. I wish we could just know. What's next? You ever thought that? I wish I could just know. God, you just tell me now. This would be a lot easier, but I wish we could just know. And then we get into verse 3, and I like this. David gets a new song. And I think this is an enormous part of this. The way David responded in this situation is huge. What God did for him was, what's the word? Huger? Is that the word? What God did for him was huger. Many saw this, right? It says in verse 3, many saw this and they put their trust in Jesus. The way he responded in this most difficult of situations, near death, troubles all around him, he's crying. Some of the Psalms, he soaks his pillow with his tears. And the way he responded, waiting for the Lord, many came to put their trust in him. Oh, how I love a new song. I'm the guy, when you hear a new song, you like it, you play it to death, right? You play it, and then you play it again until everyone around you hates it. That's how I do. I can't just pace myself. I have to go overboard. I love a new song. Imagine if we sang and worshiped, not because of the kind of song, not because of how it sounded, not because of how it was our favorite, or how it's what we used to do, or used to sing. Imagine, just for a second, if we just simply sang and worshiped because of who God is and what he has done and his goodness for us. Imagine what that would sound like. It doesn't matter. The music, the instruments, the microphones, matters who God is. He's who we're worshiping. Imagine if we sang with that in mind. Can you? It'd be overwhelming. It'd be overwhelming. I think this community that we are in needs to hear West Highland sing like this. sing like this. They're, I can't sing today. That doesn't make sense. I can't sing today? Really? Oh, it's because how you feel. What if we sang because of who God is and His goodness? I want to end with what is now my new, this just in, life verse. You're one of the first people to hear it. So you're welcome for that. Also, you can take it and use it for yourself, maybe your family. Maybe you can put it on one of your kids and say, this is their life verse. But I love how the message says it. Psalm 40, it's the last verse of this psalm. And me, I'm a mess. I'm nothing and have nothing. Make something of me. You can do it. You've got what it takes. But God, don't put it off. Don't put it off. Some of my friends had said, I'm not saying mess right. I'm a mess. It's two syllables. I'm still working on that. But and me, I'm a mess. I'm nothing and have nothing. Maybe this is your new life verse. You can join with me. We're a mess together. We don't have anything. But God makes something of us. He can do it. He has what it takes. But God, please, don't put it off. I'm going to ask Christian and Brooke to come up and get ready. But I want to speak to those today who are like David. I don't know everybody's situation. I can't pretend to. I can't guess. But I want to speak to those who, like David, feel like everything. And everything is falling apart around you. You haven't heard from God yet. You still feel like you are in a pit, stuck in mire, overwhelmed. You came today, you just put on a happy face because that's what you're supposed to do. God will come. He will pick you up. He will put you on a solid foundation. And by the way, that foundation is Himself. He will give you a firm place to stand. But it's in the waiting. It's in the waiting. God might feel distant. He might seem far away. But hear me. Hear me, West Highland. You are not alone. You're not alone. The Bible says He's close to the brokenhearted. In Psalm 34, He blesses those who mourn. You are not alone. You're not alone. Let's continue believing. Let's continue hoping. And let's continue praying. That's patiently waiting. Psalm 103, it says, praise the Lord, I tell myself and never forget the good things He has done for me. Sometimes you got to go back and remember. Sometimes you have to go back and be like, remember what God did there? Remember how He worked? It's waiting some of the hardest times. But I'm telling you, this is just from my experience. It's in those times I've never felt closer to God. My prayer life has never been better in those times. My Bible has never been more worn out in those times. Don't stop talking to Him. Don't stop talking to Him. And in the waiting, I want you to hear this. You're not alone.